We can look at 1 Thessalonians again this morning, and particularly I want to look with you at verse 3 and this phrase of the Apostle Paul where he speaks about remembering without ceasing your work of faith. God willing, tonight I want to look at thankfulness. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, he says, verse 2. And then this triad, these three things that he mentions, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Father. All the colors here this morning can be traced back, whatever color jacket or tie or clothes you're wearing, all the colors can be traced back, can't they, to three primary colors: red, yellow, and blue. Well, I would suggest to you that in verse 3 we have what we could call the three primary colors of the Christian faith: your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope. Work that proceeds from faith, labor that proceeds from love, and patience that proceeds from hope. And that threefold characteristic, the three primary colors of the Christian faith, that's a theme that occurs again and again in the New Testament. In Colossians chapter 1 and verses 4 and 5, for example, Paul writes to the Christians there and he says, "Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, which you have heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you as it has also in all the world and is bringing forth fruit." Same three things there: faith, love, hope. Or perhaps in the best known expression of all of these three primary colors of the Christian faith, in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 13, Paul writes, "Now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love." So I want to concentrate this morning on the first, where Paul can speak that he's thankful to God as he remembers the work of faith of the Christians in Thessalonica. What caused the Apostle Paul to rejoice and thank God? Well, he heard from Timothy about what was happening in those who professed faith in Thessalonica. And as he heard from Timothy about their work, which was rooted in faith. Now, if they'd only had work without faith, that would have caused the Apostle Paul grief. If they professed faith, but there was no evidence of work, that would have caused him grief as well. But the fact that they had both and in the right relationship, work that proceeded from faith, their work of faith, that caused Paul to lift up his heart and to say that he wanted to thank God that in Thessalonica there were Christians and in them there was this work of faith. There was faith, there was work, and there was work that proceeded from faith. Now, it's only a supernatural work of the Holy Spirit that will ever make someone have both these things and in the right order. A new birth, a new life from God the Spirit, that leads to faith, saving faith that rests in Jesus Christ. And then that saving faith, that real faith, produces works. So Paul here rejoices. And as he rejoices, we can rejoice with him when we see that evidence of faith that produces works. But it's also a challenging word to us this morning about the nature of what real faith is like that produces works. Now, there are some passages of the New Testament where faith is emphasized and works are not. If you want to follow, I'm going to read a couple of them, but you can listen or follow as I read a couple of the examples, faith being emphasized, works not being emphasized. So, for example, Galatians chapter 2 and verse 16. Their faith is emphasized. Paul says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. What does Paul emphasize there? He emphasizes faith. Faith in Jesus Christ. Or again, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Paul writes, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Now, in passages like those, where faith is emphasized and works are not, what question is the Bible addressing to us? Well, the question the Bible is asking is, how does a guilty sinner find acceptance before God? How do you this morning find acceptance before God? And the answer of the Bible is very clear. You find acceptance before God by faith in the Savior. Faith in Jesus Christ alone. Faith in Jesus Christ plus nothing. Faith is like an empty hand that takes hold of Jesus Christ for salvation. And in all the verses we've just read, and in this verse this morning, your work of faith, Paul is emphasizing that faith is like that empty hand to take hold of Jesus Christ as your Savior this morning from sin, and that's how you come to God. As we were singing, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. The hymn writer then in verse 3 emphasizes in the hymn what faith is like. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. I bring nothing, the hymn writer says. I just cling to the cross. Naked, come to thee for dress. Helpless, look to thee for grace. I come in my helplessness and my sin, and I lay hold of Jesus Christ by faith, and by faith alone in him I have acceptance before God. How does a guilty sinner find acceptance before God then? How do you find acceptance before God this morning? The answer of the Bible is by faith alone in Jesus Christ alone. And any attempt to put works between the guilty sinner and the free pardon of God is a distortion of the gospel. You put anything else in there, circumcision, tears, obedience to the law, vows, baptism, feelings, anything. Anything that you want to say, it's not an empty hand that takes hold of Jesus Christ, the promised Savior. That's a distortion of the gospel. So when Paul thinks of these Thessalonian Christians and he hears about them from Timothy, he's saying, I give thanks to God because their relationship to God is a work of faith. They're not putting works in themselves there as something that must be added to faith for salvation. No, the works in the life of these believers in Thessalonica are the fruit of faith. And when Paul saw that, he rejoiced. You see, when people try to put something between themselves and Jesus Christ for salvation, then Paul cried out in horror. He could not rejoice if someone tried to do that. Listen to him writing to the Galatians in chapter 1 in verses 8 and 9, where he says, "But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than that we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we've said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed." So for those who are wanting to put a little plus sign, an addition in, well, you can be saved by faith in Jesus Christ, but plus circumcision, plus the law of Moses. Faith plus circumcision, faith plus the law of Moses, and then you'll be accepted by God. And Paul writes back in horror. Oh, he says, that's such a distortion and perversion of the gospel. If someone brings any other gospel to you, then faith is the empty hand that takes hold of Jesus Christ. Let that person be accursed. So here Paul writes, with all the biblical richness of the word faith, the whole response of the whole person to Jesus Christ. How you accepted before God by faith alone in Jesus Christ. You turn from your sins. You have trust, belief, commitment, reliance upon Jesus Christ. And with an empty hand, you take hold of him by faith as your Lord and Savior. Is that how you are accepted before God this morning? Is that how you are coming to God? Someone asks, how do you know this morning that you're accepted before God? You answer, by faith alone in Jesus Christ. But then you see there are also passages of the Bible where works are emphasized and faith is not. So if we were to listen to James, for example, in chapter 2, we would find that James emphasizes works. Let me read some verses to you from James chapter 2 and from verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? Now that comes as a challenge to us, doesn't it? Listen to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ himself in Matthew chapter 7 and verses 21 to 23. Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Now, in passages like that, where works are emphasized and faith is not, what question is the Bible addressing? It's not addressing the same question as the passages we looked at before. How does a guilty sinner find acceptance before God? With the empty hand of faith taking hold of Jesus Christ. Now there's a different question. The Bible is asking, how does a man, how does a woman know whether his or her faith is genuine. You say this morning you have faith. How do you know it's the real thing? Yes, you find acceptance with God by faith in the Saviour, Jesus Christ alone. But how do you know if your professed faith is genuine? What's the answer of the Bible? The answer of the Bible is genuine faith, the real thing, will always produce as its fruit works. Works of holiness and obedience, done in the power of a new life, done out of love for Jesus Christ. As Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So you have two different questions, two different answers, two different conclusions. If you find acceptance with God by faith in Jesus Christ alone, then anything you try to put between faith and the Saviour is a perversion of the gospel. It's anathema. But then there is the second conclusion. If genuine faith will always produce as its fruit works of obedience and holiness, done in the power of a new life, done out of love for Jesus Christ, then if someone professes faith, oh yes, I have faith, but that faith produces no works, then what does James say? That so-called faith is dead faith. Faith without works is dead. You see, your faith this morning might be dead faith. If it's not saving faith, then you have a terrible malady, a condition in the soul. Lots of people can say, oh yes, I believe, I believe, I believe. But there are no works of obedience, no holiness of life, no evidence of new life, no love for Jesus Christ. Then the Bible says that faith is just a dead faith. It's the faith of demons. Just a bunch of ideas in your head. But dead faith. And you're on your way to condemnation. Titus chapter 1 verse 16. They profess to know God. They say, I believe, I believe. But in works, they deny him. Being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. So the importance of this distinction that Paul makes here as he writes to the Thessalonians, we can't assert it too strongly. You see, if all you do is only emphasize the first truth, that you are justified by faith alone, then there is a danger. The danger of a dead orthodoxy. No living, vibrant Christian experience. There are many people in the United Kingdom this morning who say, oh yes, I believe, I believe. I'm a Christian, I believe. And they sit around supposedly believing. And they sit and sit and sit. And there's no evidence of a change of life. There's no works. On the other hand, if you assert just the second truth only, that if your faith is genuine, it will produce works. I've seen that as well. What does that produce? It produces a certain subjectivism. People who are all the time looking in, looking in, looking in at themselves. They're never sure of salvation. And I want to say the wonder of the gospel is that you're saved by nothing to do with yourself. So you see why Paul rejoiced. The Thessalonians had these two things in the right and a beautiful balance. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith. They had faith. They didn't put anything between themselves and the Savior. They were trusting in Jesus Christ alone for salvation. But it was the real faith. It was the living faith. It worked. It produced works of obedience and holiness. The word of God sounded out from them. They were examples to other believers. They turned from idols. Now, those things were the fruit of faith. They weren't trusting in those things to get to heaven. They were trusting only in the merits of Jesus Christ, fully and freely offered to them in the gospel. But that faith had produced a change of life, and Paul rejoices. So if I ask you this morning, are you going to heaven? Is your answer, yes, I'm accepted before God, I'm going to heaven by faith alone in Jesus Christ? I fear that some will try and put it works in there. I'm trying to be a good person before I come to Jesus Christ. I can't believe that God will accept me with all my sins and failures and mistakes. I can't believe the gospel because it sounds too good to be true. And you're putting other things in: prayers, tears, feelings, baptism, good works. And the Bible is saying to you, there is nothing that stands before your soul in all its guilt and the Savior in all his forgiveness this morning. You must come to him in faith alone. Nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to your cross I cling. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Is that how you're coming to God this morning? You could sing that hymn and you mean it from your heart. Nothing in my hands. Simply clinging to the cross. Simply coming by faith alone in Jesus Christ. But then you see there are others who must be asked an equally personal question. Is your faith only a dead faith? The faith of demons. Because there's no evidence of works of obedience. No holiness. No evidence of love for Jesus Christ. When Paul was writing to the Thessalonians, he wasn't writing to people who'd been Christians for 20 years. Here were new believers. New converts. Those who had just professed faith in Jesus Christ. Listen to what he could say about them. Verse 7. You became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. Their lives had so changed that they became examples to others. Verse 8, for from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth. Through them the gospel was spreading in all that region. Your faith toward God has gone out so that we do not need to say anything. How could that be said of you? If you have no appetite for spiritual things, no appetite for the Bible, no appetite for a prayer meeting, no evidence of love for Jesus Christ, no desires after holiness, then if your professed faith in Jesus Christ doesn't produce a change in you, a desire to serve the Lord, to find a place of usefulness, to serve him, to be changed, to be like him, that the word of God might sound forth, then the Bible says, question the genuineness of your faith. Because no work of faith is a good work unless it's rooted in faith. The works of these Thessalonian believers were rooted in faith and in a climate of faith. But that faith was the real thing. It produced a change of life. And of course, there's also this in the life of the believer and in the life of the church. Why carry on preaching, teaching, evangelizing, working, serving Jesus Christ? Why should you keep going as a Christian this morning? You see, not just by the evidence of what you see. Sometimes I think that sermon was a waste of time. We come together for a prayer meeting. I think the prayer meeting, it was very hard. People don't seem to have taken up the issues of prayer. Sometimes you think it's just a total flop. Nothing happened. Why carry on? Ah, says the Bible, we walk by faith, not by sight. Sometimes as you grasp the promises of God, in spite of what you see, in spite of opposition perhaps, in spite of the going being hard, you keep going because you learn as a believer your works must be a work of faith. You don't labor on only in terms of what you see. You keep going. You work in terms of what God has said. Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. So you may say, I don't see much happening at the moment. But by God's grace in faith, I'm not going to lose heart. I'm going to keep going. And we shall reap. Now that's a work of faith. And it puts life into your work. So when the devil says to you, what's the use? When others say to you, what's the use? Sometimes when your own heart says to you, what's the use? You say, ah, but it's a work of faith. I'm carrying on in faith. God is doing his own work and in his own way and in his own time. I'm going to walk by faith. I'm going to keep going. These believers here are commended, and Paul can give thanks to God always for them as he makes mention of them in his prayers, remembering without ceasing, he says, your work of faith. If you're not a Christian here this morning and you're coming and you're asking, how can I be accepted before God? Here is good news for you. You come with an empty hand and you take hold of Jesus Christ, the Savior, by faith, and you can find forgiveness and acceptance and peace with God. Come just as you are, without one plea. And you come to God in faith, and Jesus Christ the Savior will accept you. And then, when you profess faith, you know this morning if you profess faith, if your faith is the real thing, because the real faith will always produce a work of faith. Now, I'm not talking about perfection, but there is a change. There are desires after the Bible. After God, after Jesus Christ, to pray, to meet with other believers, to pray together. A desire to reach out, that the word of God from Kensett Evangelical Church will go out as the word of the Lord from these believers sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. That would be a great thing, wouldn't it, if today someone could write that the word of God from Kensett Evangelical Church is sounding out in Finchley, London. And that you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe, because their faith was real and it produced work in their lives, a change which was obvious and evident to Timothy and to Paul. And when God works in your heart like that, there's an evident change in your life. And all the praise and the glory belong to God alone. Let's pray together now. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you this morning for that work of faith which Paul could give thanks to God for in the life of believers in Thessalonica long ago. We pray, Lord, from heaven, as you look down upon us this morning and see our hearts, that there may be a rejoicing even in heaven, that in the lives of this congregation here, there may be a work of faith. Faith, that empty hand that takes hold of Jesus Christ, the promised Savior. Faith that produces a change of life, works that result and flow from the product of that faith. So that faith is not a dead, empty thing, but a real, living, active thing that honors Jesus Christ and makes him known. So, Lord, we pray that you will help us here, that we as a church might be known as people who can be commended for a work of faith. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we're going to sing as a closing hymn, a hymn which emphasizes faith. It's perhaps one of the best known hymns that emphasize faith. Just as I am without one plea. Verse 5 says this: just as I am, thou wilt receive, you will receive, will welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise, your promise, I believe, O Lamb of God, I come. So here's the empty hand of faith taking hold of Jesus Christ, the promised Saviour. 585. Now may grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit rest and remain with each one of you and with all God's people, both this day and forevermore. Amen.